When they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things. Discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Notch.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
Oh, NBA All-Star Weekend. Approaching us, Orlando, everyone's going to be there. It's going to be another circus. Kind of like Disney World for really tall people. Imagine, if you will, rides where they're all too tall to ride them. That's going to be the Amway Center in Orlando, weekend of the 25th and 26th. The game itself doesn't interest me at all, but the Saturday festivities always make the whole weekend worth watching. This year, there's Timberwolves there. Barkley versus Shaq as they copy the NHL, believe it or not, and more. Here to help me wade through the swamp that is the NBA at the All-Star break, Jesse Karangu of NBA Trade Buzz is on. And Jesse, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing? Thank you for getting my name right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my real last name is Notcher, like not your average guy, but it's not spelled the way it sounds, so everybody butchers it. Jesse is big at NBA Trade Buzz.
Yes, sir. NBA Trade Buzz is a great website. A couple of young guys just trying to get into the industry. I have a real passion for sports, and specifically have a passion for the NBA. We just write about how we feel, as well as the latest rumors and buzz going around the league. And probably our biggest time of the year is as it gets closer to the NBA trade deadline. Usually the trade deadline is around end of February, but obviously we had the lockout this year, so the schedule got shortened and it started later than usual. But the NBA trade deadline is on March 15th this year, so first couple weeks of March we're going to expect our biggest and most traffic.
Where do you live? Where are you based out of?
I'm a Baltimore native. I grew up a Wizards fan, but nowadays, it's not that great to be a Wizards fan because they play more like the Generals than the Wizards.
Yeah.
So around last year, I joined the Miami Heat bandwagon, and that's
God.
Where I am right now.
You get a good seat in the bandwagon?
Yes, I am on the Heat bandwagon, and I plan to stay there for as long as LeBron James is there, because LeBron has always been my favorite player. Actually, the weird thing is, when LeBron first came into the league, I hated him because everybody was buzzing about him. Everybody was talking about him, how he's going to be the next MJ. And they were just all over him, slobbering all over him. And then the minute he leaves Cleveland, everybody hates him. And that hate and the venom that he received, that it just disturbed me a lot. So I decided, you know what, I want to be on the villain side too. I'm going to join the Heat and I'm going to be part of that bandwagon crew. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm a bandwagon fan. I mean, if you're a fan of the Washington Wizards for the past 16 years of your life, or 17 years of your life, and they've never made it past the second round. Something's got to give. I got to have some excitement, something to look forward to. So I joined the Miami Heat bandwagon, and I'm a proud member ever since, and I don't think they're going to disappoint this year either.
All right, let me ask you, since you had a problem with everybody all over LeBron when he was with Cleveland, what's your opinion about Jeremy Lin? Because people won't shut up about Jeremy Lin.
You don't like him, dude?
It's not that I don't like him. I think that, oh my God, he was undrafted. There's only two rounds of the NBA draft. And remember when Tebow had his big winning streak and everybody went nuts over Tim Tebow?
Oh, I hated that.
In the NFL, a five-game winning streak lasts you over a month. In the NBA, five games is like a week and a half. Hell, I've had a really good week and a half in my life, but you don't, you know, hear everybody slobbering all over me because of it. ESPN just won't stop.
You know, the difference between Tim Tebow and Jeremy Lin, though, that I see, which is why I am a supporter of Jeremy Lin and not of Tim Tebow as much. Jeremy Lin, I can tell that he has the pure talent. He knows how to dish out the ball. He knows how to score when he needs to. He knows how to drive the ball and draw fouls if he needs to. Tim Tebow, his throwing motion, it's just, I mean, you can't teach that. It just comes with raw talent, and Tim Tebow doesn't have that raw talent, which is why I used to hate it when they and everybody slobbered all over him. And I hate the way ESPN controls the sports world and what we talk about. And people like Skip Bayless make money and make millions of dollars saying things that they don't necessarily believe in, but they say things that are going to get people to talk and get people buzzing, which pisses me off, which is why I'm kind of excited about this new NBC Sports Network or whatever. Doesn't seem like they're doing much right now, but hopefully that will turn around in the next 10 years where ESPN doesn't control the whole sports world anymore.
You got to think, though. Jeremy Lin went to Harvard. They didn't even make the tournament any of the 4 years he was there, and he bounced around the league. A couple teams had him, and they got rid of him. It's just hard to imagine all of a sudden. You know that people, sometimes it just clicks. for people?
Yeah.
You think that's what happened with Jeremy Lin?
No. As I said before, I have that pure talent, and he knows how to dish the ball out. And people are making a lot of talk about how is Carmelo going to adjust the playing system of Mike D'Antoni when Jeremy Lin has now stepped up his game. Jeremy Lin, I don't even think he really likes scoring. He just did it because there was nobody else doing it. But I don't think he would have a problem dishing out the ball to Carmelo. And if anything, Jeremy Lin is the type of point guard, it seems like, where he can say no to Carmelo. Because Carmelo always wants the ball. He's a ball hog. He's just like Kobe. He's just like D. Wade. He has that killer instinct where he always has to have the ball. And somebody like Jeremy Lin, who's a pure point guard, whose main objective is to make plays work and to move the ball, keep the ball moving. This guy can do wonders for New York. I honestly believe in him. I mean, yesterday against the Hornets, he had a tough game. I mean, the game was last night, and he didn't have a great game. He didn't have the best game. Even two nights ago, he only scored about 10 points, had about 15 assists. Those assists matter. Before Jeremy Lin, they didn't have anybody that could do that. So I think this is going to do big wonders for New York. I don't see them going past the second round, though, just because there's too many injuries and too many moving parts that I don't know if they can all gel together by the end of the season, just because the season is so short this year.
Yeah, but Derrick Rose.
I could see that happening.
His back injury, though, that could flare up. That's a totally different team without Derrick Rose.
That is true. Chicago's pieces, they're all used to each other. They know each other's skill sets. In New York, there's still kind of, what's the word to use? Not everybody is comfortable with each other yet.
They're in transition, they're in flux.
Amari, I've only played for maybe a year and a half or less.
So at NBA Trade Buzz, you said this is the busiest time of year coming up with the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I'm a Minnesota guy, and by the way, Ricky Rubio, everybody was talking about him nonstop for 2 months, then Jeremy Lin shows up, and now it's like Ricky Rubio went back to Spain. But they're talking about Pau Gasol maybe coming to Minnesota playing with his fellow Spaniard.
That would be a great move to be able to. I mean, it wouldn't be great in terms of their future getting rid of a great piece like Derek Williams is, but they don't necessarily need Derek Williams on the team. I mean, that'd be great for them. Plus, Pau Gasol and Ricky Rubio, as you said before, they've played together. They have that chemistry of being fellow Spaniards. So I think that'd be a great move. And for the Lakers, that'd also be amazing. Kobe wouldn't be that happy about it just because he's used to playing with Powell. But at the same time, you get younger. The Lakers can't get any older right now. They look like the Spurs of L.A. So it'd be a great move for both sides.
How happy would Powell be about a trade like that? You said Kobe would be unhappy, but how happy would Powell be going to Minnesota?
I think it'd be two-sided. He'd be a little happy just because he's playing with his fellow Spaniard and Ricky Rubio, and he gets to play with one of the NBA's most emerging stars in Kevin Love. But at the same time, you're not playing with Kobe anymore. I'm not the biggest Laker fan in the world. I don't really like Kobe that much. My friends will tell you that. But Kobe's one of the greatest players that we've seen in basketball history. Mm-hmm. And to get traded and not have the chance to play with him anymore, that's got to be depressing. What did you think?
I would think because they have a history of prolonged playoff success, and Minnesota's upcoming, but there's no immediate playoff appearances on the horizon. At least in Powell's mind, that'd probably be the problem, his hang-up. You think there's another team? Have you heard about any other teams that might be in the running for Pau Gasol?
The Rockets are always in there because they also have a lot of pieces. They have a lot of depth with there are different young and upcoming players there, but I honestly hope that he goes to Minnesota. Right now, Minnesota's around, I mean, they're not exactly eighth place. Denver is right now, but Denver, Utah, Portland, Minnesota, they're all around in the same place, same record. Any of those teams can move up or down, and Minnesota could get in there and upset some teams in the playoffs if they were to get Pau Gasol. And if the only thing they had to give up was Derek Williams and maybe a couple of draft picks and some cash considerations, That'd be a sweet move for Minnesota. That'd be a steal for Minnesota, actually.
Houston does make sense because they actually had a deal for Pau Gasol before as part of that package that David Stern overturned. So I think that trade, any trade of Pau Gasol going to either Minnesota or Houston, I think it's going to be looked over with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that the Lakers don't get messed around with anymore, because there was a big outcry about what would happen.
Although that trade that got nixed, we also have to remember that that was involving New Orleans as well. And New Orleans is owned by NBA right now while they look for an owner. So
I'm
that's why David Stern had so much power to nix that trade.
I'm not a fan of the league owning a team because look what happened to the Hornets. They have the worst record in the NBA right now. Plus, you also got to remember, that whole mess with the Lakers and then the Clippers, it just reeked of conflict of interest somehow. Commissioner possibly overturning the GM of the Hornets, the league-appointed GM of the Hornets. The team is a mess right now. God, they could be on the move as well. I mean, like I said, the league owns the team, and what if Louisville, Kentucky, for example, they got a brand new arena downtown Louisville. What if some local businessman comes forward there and says he wants to move the team to Louisville or somewhere like Seattle? You know, they're building a new arena in Seattle. What if they decide they're going to have the new Sonics be the old Hornets? It's not doesn't bode well for basketball in New Orleans.
I totally agree. But at the same time, New Orleans hasn't been the best supporter of basketball, which is why you don't see anybody coming up and grabbing their team. And I understand because of all the turmoil that they've been through in the past, but they do support their Saints pretty well. And I don't understand why that same support doesn't go to the Hornets.
There's a much longer history of the Saints, though. Hornets are still relatively new to the people of New Orleans.
But still, if you get a new basketball team, you want to show the world and you want to show the other NBA franchises and the NBA owners that you're going to support this team long term. This isn't a short term thing. This isn't a fluke. This isn't a mistake. You're going to be there.
Yeah, like if only were that easy,
Baltimore
though.
If Baltimore got a team, I'd get season tickets. Even if I couldn't afford them, I'd work my tail off to get season tickets and to try to find money to afford them. You know, and New Orleans hasn't done that. So, I mean, I don't like the NBA owning a team either. I actually wrote an article about David Stern nixing the Chris Paul deal and how I thought it was so evil and idiotic and stupid.
With NBA Trade Buzz, what other trade possibilities do you have on your radar right now? What are we not hearing about that we should be hearing about or that we will be hearing about?
Dang, you are a tough questioner, man. I don't really know. Right now, the big buzz is about J.R. Smith going to the Knicks. He hasn't signed a contract yet. His name's not on paper, but we're pretty aware that he's going to go to the Knicks just because he posted on his Twitter page that that's going to go down. Basically, besides that, there's nothing really going on. Steve Nash, there's been some rumors surrounding the Phoenix Suns that they might give him up out of respect because they're not going to contend this year and they want to try to move him to a contender so he has a chance to win a championship like his former teammate Dirk Nowitzki did last season. And our Simon Hanek, he's a great guy too. He's a guy you also need to come on the show. He knows a lot about the NBA, a lot about basketball. Great dude. He has an article up right now that you guys should check out talking about Chris Anderson, who is available for a trade just because Denver already has three other big guys. They have Nick who we signed. They have Mozgov that they got off the Melo trade. So that's pretty much what's going on right now. The trade rumors, the concrete and real, are going to come out possibly once March starts. Right now, it's just BS, honestly. Because if you hear about trades that are going to, that might happen around this time, it's yes, or another team trying to get their storyline out there to pressure the team that you're trying to make a deal with. But it's going to be an exciting year.
I have a statement and a question. The statement is, I don't think the Nuggets are going to trade Birdman at least till they're sure that Gallinari is back and healthy, because I think he's the key to that team right now.
I would agree, but at the same time, they have a lot of weapons, and they don't necessarily need Chris Anderson. He hasn't really been forced to be reckoned with for the Nuggets as he was back in the days of their run to the Western Conference Finals. He'd be a great addition. He's a great addition right now, to the Nuggets, but they don't necessarily need him. It's not like the Nuggets are going to all of a sudden go on a losing streak just because he's not there.
And Steve
but
Nash.
I do agree with where you're coming from.
You said that he might be on the move. What teams do you think would benefit most by having Steve Nash? What's the market for Steve Nash? What teams?
I would have said New York before this Jeremy Lin explosion happened. I mean, we could still put them up there. I just don't know how much cap space they would have and how much renegotiation they would need in order to trade him. There's also a theory that he might get bought out and then either the Heat or Chicago Bulls would try and sign him to a veterans minimum deal or to a mid-level exception deal to try and bring him in as an extra playoff piece. But as far as that, right now, there's no really concrete team that we know of that's definitely going to trade for Steve Nash.
I've got a dark horse team for you.
Keep that in mind. There's going to be buzz about him. He's going to be willing to give him up.
I've got a dark horse team for you for Steve Nash. Let me know when you're ready. Ooh. Indiana.
I disagree. That
you don't
team
think,
has so much.
You don't think
chemistry?
That's an upgrade at point?
No, I mean, it would be, but why destroy the chemistry that they already have? Right now, Indiana is the third best team in the league. Eastern Conference, and they're up there in the league.
You're not destroying chemistry with Steve Nash,
though. I wouldn't destroy that youthfulness and that chemistry to bring in a veteran if I were them. Especially giving up pieces that are going to be very vital to your future. I wouldn't do that.
They're going to stick with the future building?
Yeah, because it's working. It's working right now. I mean, I don't think of course they want to go to the finals. They would love to win a championship right now. But they wouldn't be terribly disappointed if their team didn't go past the second round this year, is what I think. Because that team, nation, is going to be there for the next 7 years, I'd say.
All right. All-Star Weekend is coming up in Orlando, and we haven't discussed that yet, but I'm not a big fan of the game itself because, pardon my French, the players just dick around too much on the court, and that's not really entertaining. But the Saturday activities, that's what I'm really big into. And start off with the...
I'm so disappointed with the dunk contest. How does the NBA not have any stars in the slam dunk contest, which is probably the biggest competition of All-Star Weekend?
Nothing brought that out more than ESPN doing the top 10 Michael Jordan moments on his birthday, when the number one moment was the dunk from the free throw line. And they're talking about how he retains his slam dunk championship. Retains means he was the defending champion coming in, which means he had to be in it 2 years in a row. But now you have Derek Williams, Paul George of Indiana, and a couple other guys, which I can't think of their names right now. There's only, what, four guys in the slam dunk?
Yeah. And then this year, they don't even have any judges. It's going to only be one round. Each guy gets three dunks, and after that, it's over. The fans vote on NBA.com, and there you go. And I don't understand that logic or what the NBA is thinking. I think the NBA made a great move by putting in the TNT analysts, the very popular Charles Barkley, and the new guy who isn't doing so well, Shaq.
Oh, God.
I don't really like his NBA analysis. He's not that good.
No, he's not.
But he's very entertaining. He's very entertaining. I love when they do the Neato Stat of the Night. It's a great watch for me.
He's entertaining in the way that you're with a group of friends and you have that one goofy, idiotic friend. He's always making a fool of himself.
Exactly.
And he's stumbling around and he's saying goofy things and, you know, he eats the hamburger all in one, you know, mouthful, shoves it all in his mouth.
Exactly.
That's what Shaq is on Inside the NBA. And you're talking about the Rising Stars game where they pick the rosters like the NHL All-Star game did.
Exactly. And I think that's what the NBA needs to do for their All-Star game. Everybody talks about LeBron versus Kobe. It's a big buzz on social media almost every time the Heat and the Lakers play. Have LeBron and Kobe pick their friends or who they think are the best players in the league and have a team LeBron and a team Kobe. Copy off of the NHL.
Copy off LeBron in free agency, where he just picked the guys he wanted to play with. Right?
Oh, come on now. Low blow. Low blow.
They just added Jeremy Lin, by the way, of the Rising Stars game. Good move?
Hell yeah. NBA is a business at the end of the day. Let's remember that. With all these things that we love and adore, sports, ESPN, it's all a business. You got to make money. And it would have been the dumbest move to not include this phenom in the All-Star game or in the All-Star events. He's not in the All-Star game, but he's a part of the events that are going on, like the Rising Stars Challenge. And it brings your ratings up. It brings casual sports fans to watch basketball. Usually you don't watch basketball until April, May, June, and the playoffs are going on. So it's a great move.
Quick predictions from you. Who wins the slam dunk? Who wins the three-point?
Who cares?
Oh, come on.
I don't even know who's in the slam dunk contest. I think Paul George of Indiana Pacers.
Just throwing a name out, aren't you?
And for the three-point contest, I love the dude Kevin Love. I love that Minnesota story. I just hope they can do big things this year, especially if they get Paul Gasol. Boy, would that be a team to watch out for.
I honestly don't see it for the same reason you don't think Steve Nash is going to go to Indiana. Because what are you getting Paul Gasol for? Just so Ricky Rubio has someone from his own country to hang out with? You got a definite youth movement, and you're adding a veteran to a team. You're saying Indiana shouldn't add Steve Nash. even though they're deep in playoff contention. The Wolves are right around 9th or 10th in the West. Pau Gasol...
Those are two different situations. Indiana's situation, they started building up maybe a year or two ago. The Wolves have been building up for the past 5 years, and the same system hasn't been working. Ever since KG left, however many years KG has been gone, they've been rebuilding and rebuilding and rebuilding, and it hasn't worked out.
That's because they butcher
right
the
now,
picks.
Exactly. And, I mean,
Johnny
you need to sell tickets, and you need some veteran leadership on that team. The Western Conference is an open conference, unlike the Eastern Conference. Western Conference right now, I can honestly see any of those teams in the top eight going on a big winning streak and becoming the number one team in the playoffs. Now, I can't say that they're going to go to the finals. I only see maybe three or four teams, the Clippers, Lakers, maybe Blazers, Thunder, obviously, going to the finals. But the Western Conference is pretty open to me, and that tells you how much more competitive the Western Conference is than the Eastern Conference. Nobody's going to get past Miami and Chicago.
Who knocks off Oklahoma City in the West?
Who knocks off Oklahoma City?
Who knocks them off? Who's the team that you said that the West is up for grabs, that any of the eight can make the finals? Who's the team that matches up the best with Oklahoma City
and
knock them out?
Any of the eight can make the finals. I just said any of the eight can clinch the number one spot. I think it's really wide open, and it's very competitive.
So who's got the best chance to beat Oklahoma City in the West?
Ooh, Denver. Denver's probably one of the most underrated teams in the league. Right now they're number eight officially, but they've been playing like a number two team in my book, at least.
When they get Gallinari back, they're going to be a lot better.
Exactly, and they have a traditional NBA team, a team where you have every player has a different skill set. You don't have a LeBron and Wade who have the same skill set that have to adjust to each other, or the Kobe and Bynum and Gasol, and Gasol and Bynum have to adjust to each other. They have a traditional NBA team where everybody has a different skill set, and there's so much depth on that roster that I could see them knocking off Oklahoma City. And they believe in their coach, Mr. Carl, and that's going to help you out in the playoff stretch. Plus, they have a swag to them where they're pissed off because they've all been, and throughout their NBA careers, they've all been looked at as cast-offs. Half of that roster was traded by New York. New York just said, F you, we want Melo. And the other half, Melo didn't believe in them, and he decided that he needed to go. So I think they have something to prove. They have a heart about them, a passion about them that they want to prove to the world that they are better than their record or the analysts say they are. So I think that's the team that could knock off Oklahoma City. Plus, Oklahoma City right now is pretty short on their guards. They got Maynard, who's injured, and they have Mr. Westbrook, who's injured. He got injured, I think, last night, knee injury. So we got to watch out for that as well.
So a team with a dominant backcourt can really do what they want to do with Oklahoma City right now.
I'd say so.
NBATradeBuzz.com.
Yes, sir. NBATradeBuzz.com is a great website. You can also follow me on Twitter, @BBreezyMan. I post on a couple of blogs of my own, so you can check that out, as well as NBATradeBuzz.com. It's a great website. Highly recommend it, especially around March 1st through March 15th when all the trades are going down. We'll have all the latest for you. It'll be very entertaining and very informative.
And when Steve Nash goes to the Pacers, I want you to make sure that I get some credit on your website. Okay?
I can almost guarantee you Steve Nash is not going to Indiana.
You link to this audio, and you say my name on your website that I called it. Steve Nash going to the Pacers.
He's not. I'm telling you, he's not. Larry Bird has a way of Larry Bird and that whole team. Clark Kellogg is also part of that team. Clark Kellogg, you know, is from the Final Four, CBS, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And all those guys. They have a certain system that they want to stick to. And unlike New York, who is supposed to stick to a similar system of rebuilding and using their young pieces and their young core to develop and giving up pieces for a star, which they're going to regret eventually, Indiana's not going to do that, especially with a guy like Steve Nash, who you only get at the most 3 years, guaranteed.
But if they do...
Of course, man.
Okay.
You have me on your podcast. I got you, son. But
all right.
I guarantee you, it's not going to work out.
Jesse Karangu, NBA Trade Buzz, it has been a pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the season. How are your Wizards going to do the rest of the year? Are they going to finish out of last place? Well, they're not your Wizards anymore.
They're
What's
kind
wrong
of sort
with
of
them?
My Wizards, but not really.
You're saying it's a long list.
What's wrong with them is that they're all too young, and they all want to be the star. JaVale McGee last year shined in the NBA, participating in the NBA dunk contest. John Wall was one of their number one draft pick. So there's tension there in terms of who is the star, who is the A option, who is the alpha dog of the Wizards. And then you have a guy like Rashard Lewis who's only playing because he's getting paid and doesn't really have a passion to play. And you have Ronnie Turiaf. You just have guys who don't really have any concern. They play in the same division as Orlando and Miami, so they have an instinct in their minds, yeah, we're done. We're not going to make it. We're not going to go anywhere. And they're just not playing cohesively. They're not playing as a unit. Flip Saunders thought he was going to have a package of Gilbert Arenas and Caron Butler and Antoine Jamison to take them to the next level. Flip Saunders was brought in to take them to become from a second-round playoff team to a championship team. What Flip Saunders did not expect, just like Byron Scott in Cleveland, was that his stars were going to leave. And Flip Saunders was caught up in that situation, which is why he probably wasn't able to motivate these young guys, and which is why he was fired. And now this new guy hasn't done much better, and they're screwed, basically.
Basically.
I'm looking forward, honestly, to the NBA draft to see who we get. Hopefully, if we get some luck, we can get that guy from Duke named Austin Rivers. But that's probably not going to happen.
You never know.
By the way, I just thought of something. I was reading this earlier. We haven't posted it on the website yet, but we will as ASAP. I was just talking to a guy who works in the NBA. I talked to him on Twitter. It wasn't official yet. I don't even think it's being reported by anybody. But the Golden State Warriors have reignited their talks with the Orlando Magic, and they're in talks to try and get Mr. Dwight and rent him for a year. I don't think the move makes sense unless you're just trying to sell tickets, because if any team is not going to go to the playoffs, it's Golden State, unless a miracle happens. But that is a trade to watch out for. My prediction with Dwight Howard, he's not going to get traded. He's going to stay in Orlando the rest of the year. And Orlando's going to surprise everybody and go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they will lose to Miami, who will be the eventual champion, defeating the Clippers in the finals.
ESPN's going to love you if that's the case. Jesse, it's a pleasure talking to you. Appreciate your time. NBATradeBuzz.com. It's really cool. Go there. And don't forget, Steve Nash of the Pacers. Heard it here first. You have a good night, buddy.
You too. Follow me on Twitter, @BBreezyMan.
All right, you got it.
All right.